download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
This is 2008.
With Richard Kingsmill.
Okay, well, out of nowhere last week, we got the news that Bloc Party were going to be putting out their third album online and making it available to their fans before anyone really knew that it was coming. The album is going to be available on a CD format later on this year, but you can buy it now digitally through their website. Now, Bloc Party, this is their third album. It's called Intimacy. We'll talk to Kelly from Bloc Party in just a moment about what to expect from this record, because Mercury's been a real divider over first single from the record. So we'll find out a bit more from Kelly in just a moment. But we've been featuring, obviously, tracks from it this week, so you've had a good dose of it on the radio. I'm going to spotlight one track from the album right now called Biko. And I thought initially that it was written about Stephen Biko, who was the anti-apartheid activist in the 70s in South Africa, who died in 77. But Kelly told me it didn't have anything to do with him and explained the song and the origins of it to me.
This one literally came together out of nothing, out of one kind of thing, guitar idea that I had. We literally lived with it for 3 weeks before knowing what to do with it. And before we knew it, we'd kind of written a song around it. Biko is a Nigerian kind of Igbo term, and it means, and it's how you address a loved one, it's an Igbo term for addressing a loved one.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with Stephen Biko?
No, it's got nothing to do with Stephen Biko, no.
Which African language is it?
Igbo, that's where my parents are from.
Ah, and it's sort of like a love...
Igbo, which is the Nigerian language.
Right, okay. And does it basically mean I love you, or is it some sort of...
No. It's just how you address someone that you're close to. It's just like an informal greeting, like dear or something. Like, could you please do this, dear?
Okay, that track from the new Bloc Party album is called Biko, and the album, once again, is Intimacy. So when we got the news via their website that this album was coming so quickly from Bloc Party, literally last week, a couple of hours, you know, as they made it notice, a couple of hours later, we managed to get Kelly from Bloc Party on the phone, and I had a chat to him about this album. Of course, besides Mercury, I'd heard nothing about it, and nothing of the new music whatsoever. So the first question I posed to him was simply, are you proud of this new album?
Yeah, you know, as proud as you ever are with any recording, you know. Right now, I'm really excited with it, but I know that, like, in a few months' time, I'll be itching to do something new, but, yeah, this is by far the best period, the most exciting period for me, because it's all new, and people are hearing it for the first time, so...
How many people outside of the core group and the producers, how many people have heard this record so far?
Well, the producers, Paul and Garrett, haven't actually even heard the respective halves, you know, they've only heard the halves that they've worked on, so it's going to be new for them as well.
Are their halves very different in sound?
Not so different, I think. The one thing I'm really pleased about is there was a definite sense of cohesion across the record. It's like, that's the thing I was worried about, the people that would be like two sanguines to completely different records together. But it works, you know. There was an overall aesthetic that I think both producers understood, and because of that, the songs definitely relate to each other. I'm really curious as to whether people can spot who did what, because, you know, until the physical's released, I'm not sure, you know, people are going to know necessarily who produced which track. You know, I was reading lots of stuff online. Lots of people were saying that they thought Mercury sounded like something that Paul Epworth had done. But it wasn't. It was Garrett. So
Jackknife Lee did Mercury.
Yeah.
And that track has had an interesting reception because we've been playing it the last month or so on Triple J, and you know, fans who kind of got into your first record especially are going, where are the guitars and what's happening? Are you expecting people to be a bit bewildered by the rest of the album as well?
No, I think it's going to make more sense. I think the record will make more sense because people will see that, you know, the guitars are still there, you know, the guitars, you know, still there and they're still loud. It's just that one song, you know, that one song, you know, there's no kind of trademark kind of staccato guitar, but you know, there's plenty of loud guitar on the record. You know, we're a guitar band and we enjoy playing our guitars, you know, we enjoy doing it well. So, you know, we're not upset about suddenly throw our guitars out the window and start using, you know, laptops and such. You know, I think there's still mileage in rock and roll block party.
This game plan of releasing the album in this way, was this something that the group talked about for a while and decided upon?
Yeah. It was something that, you know, well, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, the music industry right now is really in such a strange place in terms of how people regard the physical kind of manifestations of music, you know, that everyone, you know, is downloading music, you know, download sales are far eclipsing actual physical sales of music. I think we just felt that, you know, we have an international fan base. People are like what we do. Why do we need to sit on this record for 6 months? You know, let's just put it out. You know, pretty much near enough soon after it's done, and that's what we did. And it feels kind of liberating because, you know, the fans will be able to get the music, you know, as soon as they want it. You know.
Absolutely, and also it's just amazing at how in the last couple of hours since you announced on your website that you were going to be doing it this way, just how quickly the word can spread.
Yeah. You know, we're lucky that we're of a certain size in, you know, most territories that, you know, we know people are going to be interested in what we do. So you obviously lose some impact from not having a huge, you know, build-up, but at least everyone will be... You know, I'm really excited that everyone in the world is going to get this record at the same time. It's going to be like, you know, when I was a kid and everyone was waiting to be here now after What's the Story in Morning Glory. And, you know, it was, you know, I remember going to school and people were talking about it. You know, so that's something that doesn't really happen so much anymore with the state of, you know, how music is, you know, disseminated kind of online. And it's just nice to have that. It's nice to have that again.
Absolutely, because no one's reviewed this record. I haven't seen a review for it yet. No one's reviewed it, have they?
Yeah, no one's heard it outside of, you know, the band and the management and, you know, our partners and such. You know, no one's really like heard the music. So it'll be interesting to see what people make of it.
Okay, just finally, Kelly, just one more question before I let you go. Intimacy, sure. The title of the record, is there any significance behind it?
Yes. I think there is a significance about it, but this time around, you know, I spoke so much of it about what A Weekend in the City was supposed to be about before the record came out that it kind of really deadened the impact for me personally. So this time, you know, I don't really want to talk about the music. I want people to listen to the music for themselves and, you know, read the lyrics if they want and come to their own conclusions about it this time before I start spouting off.
Fair enough. Yeah, because you did go into kind of like the theory behind A Weekend in the City, so I guess
I think it was something that kind of, you know, in the absence of anything else to talk about, people kind of ran with it, and before I knew it was just kind of concept record, and, you know, that wasn't really the intention. And before you know it, you kind of look like some sort of, like, you know, pompous idiot. So I think I just want this to, like, disperse with, you know, minimal kind of interaction. I want people to make up their own minds.
Okay, on Triple J, one of the rocking moments from the brand new album by Block Party. That track is Halo from their new album Intimacy, and Kelly O'Kerricky from Block Party having a chat to me straight after the news dropped that they were going to be putting this album out so quickly. Of course, it's been our feature album here at Triple J the past week. If you want to get online and review it, you can do so on the feature album page on the Triple J website. A few reviews have already come through this week by various listeners. Alex actually wrote, "This album is an absolute cracker. Songs like One Month Off, Hark Back to the Roaring Guitars of Silent Alarm. It takes a while to grow on you, but when it does, it'll never let you go." And there's a bunch of other reviews up there at the moment. So if you want to join in the discussion, go to triplej.net.au.
2008.
New releases every Sunday evening.
Triple J.